We're travelling back in time to start this morning. We're heading to 1992, a good year in my opinion, the year I was born. But we're not heading to that part, don't worry. We're in Barcelona for the Olympics. We've got the British sprinter, you may remember him, Derek Redmond. He was lining up for the 400 metre semi-final. He's been training for years for this moment. The gun has fired. He's running beautifully until halfway around the track, he hears a sharp pop. His hamstring has torn. He falls down in excruciating pain. The race is going on without him. But then, to everyone's surprise, Derek got up. Limping, sobbing, grimacing, he starts hobbling towards the finish line. And then his father breaks through the security line, running onto the track, wraps his arms around his son and helps him to finish the race. Does anyone remember that moment? It's a really good moment, isn't it? They cross that line together, slowly, painfully, but faithfully. And the image has gripped the world, not because Derek won. I'm not sure anyone can remember who actually won that race. But because he refused to quit. And that's the image behind the Luke passage. A widow who won't stop knocking. A God who calls us to not lose heart. And a faith that keeps moving even when it hurts. Because in the kingdom of God, prayer, justice, and faithfulness all grow out of a sacred posture of perseverance. And unlike some other parables, Jesus, in Luke's parable, tells us the purpose of it straight away. A parable to show the disciples that they should always pray and not give up. Seems quite clear, doesn't it? The message in one line, don't give up. But Jesus isn't coming to his disciples with a prayer technique. He's encouraging them in endurance. He knows too well how easy it is to grow weary, to lose heart, especially when the world feels unjust. And so he chooses to tell the story of a widow and a judge. The widow, representing that most powerless person in that culture. She had no husband or family to defend her, no social standing, no leverage. All she has is her voice, which she has chosen to use boldly, faithfully, and persistently. The judge, on the other hand, the picture of indifference. He's neither fearing God nor caring for what people think. Pretty terrible appointment, considering that judges in that culture were priestly roles, both meant to uphold justice and righteousness. But whichever way you look at it, it's an unfair match. And yet, the widow comes out on top. And according to the judge, it's because he's worn down by her perseverance. The NRSV translates his response this way. So that she may not finally come and slap me in the face. Usually, perseverance or someone standing up for something can be seen as frowned on, as stepping out of line. But actually, the widow here, in her pleading, has shown the opposite. And it's because she believes that justice matters. She's crying out for justice until that corrupt judge relents. She's remained faithful and has not given up. I wonder, what was she thinking in that moment that the judge gave in? Vindicated? Relieved? Maybe pretty tired. But her perseverance has been worth it. And then Jesus turns to the comparison. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? If even a selfish, unjust judge responds to perseverance, how much more will a just and loving God hear his children? And it seems that the widow's cry is quite simple. Grant me justice. But actually, that's not always a comfortable prayer to pray, is it? When we pray for justice, for truth, healing and restoration, we are, though, joining in with God's own heartbeat for creation. So when we pray persistently, it means we're not giving up on people, on hope, and on the belief that God's goodness will have the last word. And the parable ends with Jesus asking, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, I don't know. I wasn't there. But as a disciple, it feels like a bit of a punch, that end bit, doesn't it? Because he's actually started talking about prayer and ending in faith. He's saying, do we have faith that will last? Faith that doesn't fold when answers are delayed. Faith that still trusts when evidence is missing. And so faith and perseverance share the same heartbeat. One gives life to the other. And I don't know about you, we can look around in the world where maybe quick results are the answer. We can Google to find the facts or ask AI, dare I say. And if something takes too long, we assume it's broken or that we are. But in God's world, perseverance is not a problem. It's actually part of the process. Each time we come back to God, we're declaring, Lord, I still believe you're good. I still believe you're just. And so, like Derek Redmond, we may be limping at times, but we can still choose to move towards God, who will walk beside us. And in our Genesis passage, gosh, didn't Jacob know something about holding on? For context, Jacob is off to meet Esau, his brother, who he has had a contentious relationship with. He's fled from him, and now he's looking to return to him. He's in the dark, it's nighttime, he's alone and afraid. And suddenly, a man shows up and wrestles with him until daybreak. It's an exhausting struggle, both physical and spiritual. And as dawn breaks, the man touches Jacob's hip and it's dislocated. But in agony, Jacob is clinging even tighter and says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob doesn't win by overpowering, he wins by holding on through the pain. And as sunrise comes up, he is given a new name, Israel, meaning one who struggles with God and prevails. So Jacob may have limped away in that instance, but he's been transformed both in character and name. And so sometimes, maybe the blessings actually come through the struggle and not after it. Like Jacob, we may wrestle with unanswered questions or painful seasons. We may come away limping, but that limp can be a sign that we've met God in the darkness and that he's changed us. And so as we end, I just want to bring us back to the final bit that Jesus said in that parable. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He's asking, will I find anyone still holding on, still believing, still crying out for justice, even when the world looks unjust? And so faith isn't always a dramatic victory. Sometimes it looks like a widow bothering a judge. Sometimes it's revealed in the long nights when we're tempted to give up but don't. And that same spirit Paul speaks of in the Timothy passage when he says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. In other words, keep going. whether it's in season or not, whether people are listening or not, when prayers are being answered or when they're feeling like they're silent. Because the call of the Christian life is the same, to keep praying, keep seeking, keep believing, and keep loving, even when it's hard. So keep holding on, keep doing what's right, and keep trusting that in every season, whether it feels fruitful or barren, that God is still faithful. Amen.